Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday, everybody.
Happy Thursday. Happy Thursday. Happy Thursday.
And it's early for us today. We just did an interview. We just did an early morning interview.
10:27, July 23rd, a.m. Well, yeah, we started at 9 a.m., folks.
Is that Rent?
Oh, I didn't even
starts
get
off
that.
With the, no. Starts, is that right in Rent where he starts off with a date and time?
Yeah. No, it's like doom. He's tuning the guitar and it's like doom, 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 doom. And he's like, December 24th, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. From here on in, I shoot without a script. Rent was not my favorite musical. I didn't see that 7 or 8 times.
I kind of got that impression by the Mark voice that you just put on. Which
I loved Rent when I was younger. I mean, I still do, but I really loved
Kevin. No day but today.
I do, you know, Sutton and I say that all the time because we have, when you have a 1-year-old or he's now 13 months, you can't put things off. And so a lot of times we'll say, oh, I need to clean out the screens and the window. Well, no day but today. Let's go. Let's do it.
Do you sing it? Do you sing it to each other?
No, yes, no day but today. Of course.
Cut off. Wonderful. Hey, if you want to hear Kevin sing more, come join us for trivia this week.
Oh, you know what? And usually lately I've been sort of like, I don't know. I'll just sing pieces of songs. No one wants to hear this. But this week's trivia is so my favorite kinds of categories because it's the lesser known gems. I think I'm chapter 8 of the Not Since Carrie book because yes. Our theme this week is Not Since Carrie part 2. So we're doing the other parts of the book. And I have like, what is it? It's like cream and, you know, something in cream.
Oh, Heartbreakers and Cream.
Heartbreakers and Cream.
Chapter that Mr.
So
Mandelbaum gave this.
Sing from these lesser known shows that had these amazing scores, but maybe weren't the hits that they could have been, you know?
Yes.
And, you know, so I'll be singing from maybe a song from Juno and maybe from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and just fun some stuff.
This is so exciting. I can't wait. So once again, folks, our theme this week is Not Since Carrie part two. And it's the second half of the book that we did not cover the first time we did Not Since Carrie. And it's on Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our proceeds this week are going to Planned Parenthood. Going to Planned Parenthood this week. So please join us. Once again, you can go onto Instagram or Facebook and you can see how you can Venmo me at Robert-Schneider-5, or you can go onto PayPal at robwschneider@gmail.com, or you can donate to Planned Parenthood directly and take a screenshot and send that over our way. And then we will send you the Zoom code So you can be in the Zoom where it happens, the Zoom where it happens, the Zoom where
it happens. I can't even believe you did that.
Thank you. Just to slip that in. Just so I want to make sure you're still with me, paying attention.
And you know what, guys? Join us. And if you say, oh, I don't know all about the musicals.
Oh, it's fun. Okay.
It's more about us all being together and having a good time, having some laughs, chatting with each other, chatting with other people that love the same things that we do. Some of us, we turn our cameras on so we actually get to see each other. It's really, really fun. And I have family members that come that don't know that much about musical theater, but have a blast. That's what they say.
That's what they're family. They have to tell you.
Well,
that.
Yeah, of course.
Then they go, when is he going to have a real career? And they just cry. They're like, why is he with that old bald man all the time? We're very concerned. It's always great to see. It's always great to see your family.
It's fun. We've got
there.
Our regulars. It's just a really fun time.
And it's nice.
Time.
I mean, we all love theater. And so you get to connect with people from all over the world that love theater as well. And I will say, I know that some of the youngins that are attracted to each other, they slide into their DMs and have private chats.
Wait, are you kidding
other.
Me?
I
For real?
That out. Yes.
Wait, they talk to each other, direct message in the
yes,
chat?
Yes, yes.
Shut up. No
yes,
way.
Yes, yes. So who knows? You might leave with a love. You might leave with, you know, the satisfaction of that you
awesome.
Knew. Tenderloin opened in 1960, and you could maybe leave with a boyfriend or girlfriend. We're open here. We're matchmaking is really what we're doing. So please come and join us. We would love to have you.
Oh, that's cool.
And we also and just also don't forget, folks. The way Kevin and I do this is that half of the questions are from Ken's book, and then the other half are from unappreciated musicals since Ken's book was published.
Right.
So we'll talk about Amelie and we'll talk about Bandstand and we'll talk about In My Life. So come and right. join us for that.
The book was 1990. And so then obviously
yeah.
part two, but that book, I don't know who's going to write that book. Rob.
Not I said Rob Schneider, not I, not I said Rob Schneider at Center Theater Fair. Group Fair. Starring Hal Holbrook. Or Hal Holbrook plays
we should
me
get, he's still
as
with
Mark
us.
Twain.
He's still with us.
Yeah, he's still doing Mark Twain.
We should try to get him somehow.
He just does it now on Zoom or Cameo.
Of course, I don't know if we can, we can talk about Mark Twain that long, but it's okay.
He was in the apple tree.
Oh, that's right.
He was married to Dixie Carter. He has stuff to say. I don't know.
That little fact.
He had a long career. I would interview him. So I think it's time to discuss a favorite thing, Kevin.
I think so too.
May I go first?
Please do.
All right, folks. So I want to be very clear on this. Mr. Thomas will consistently chastise me if I do something and I don't tell him I did it. Like he'll go, why didn't you tell me you were writing a book with Peter? Or why didn't you tell me that this good thing happened to you? What you're doing a workshop of a new show. Why didn't you tell me that?
Right. You got to tell me these things. Yes.
Well, Mr. Thomas, today I'm going to turn the tables on you, my friend, because a listener from Buffalo reached out to me and said, oh, I'm having a wonderful day going down a YouTube rabbit hole. I just watched this thing with Kevin in it. From Buffalo, Kevin. I had to find out from some stranger in Buffalo that you have done some on-camera work in your career. Well,
My YouTube days.
Now, friends, Kevin and I have known each other for quite a number of years now and have shared the most intimate part of our lives with each
other. You've been a part of this friendship, listeners. I mean, it started when we started the podcast.
However, Mr. Thomas has just neglected to let me or the world know that he has some on-camera credits. So, folks, here's my favorite thing for this week. And you are going to YouTube.
Oh, my God.
You are going to type in Patty, P-A-T-T-Y, and Emily, unofficial Cinderella street team. Once again, folks, that's Patty and Emily, unofficial Cinderella street team. It's got 1,000 views. Let's make it 1,002. And so let me ask you, Kevin, would you be so kind as to tell the world what is Patty and Emily unofficial?
This is amazing.
Cinderella street team.
Honestly, and this is like nothing. It's just something you did. And I was, this is 7 years ago.
I have questions.
Seven plus years ago. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
So I had completely forgotten about this. It was friends with them or had music directed with them that I had I completely forgot about doing the video. Mm-hmm. 7 years ago, I was trying to do more film and TV. And I was friends with Patty and Emily. I think I was online friends because they had a big presence on Twitter, because Patty and Emily were like, are super fans of all things like Beth Level and many, and I connected with people that love that. I think it was through Kevin Daly. I think I got hooked up with them. And so I became online friends. Mm-hmm. And they did a lot. They were very active in the community, and they were sort of like a team together. They're no longer a team like that, but they were known as Patty and Emily. They did a couple concerts at 54 Below. I played the piano. They would have like Julia Murney come in, their favorite Broadway stars. They would host it. And then they'd have Julia sing the song she sang that made her kind of famous, like Life of the Party. And then they'd have her sing the songs they want her to sing. So like I literally played the piano for Julia singing Waiting for Life to Begin from Once on This Island. And I sang like the Ula Ulas, which is not appropriate, but they wanted her to sing it. So she did. So it was that kind of stuff. It very much from a fan point of view, but yet, you know, elevating the art. So this is a video, I guess we did, because they were, you know, back then. Well,
I
now,
guess we did. We this thing runs content. As long
it's
as an
edited. Epic. I looked at it again, and it's like edited. It's like full on lines. I'm acting. I'm giving you like a character.
Well, for friends, let me tell you. You think? Kevin, this is like a fucking episodic television
I was so
show
horrified.
Here.
I was like, oh my
so
God.
So this is... Bad. So, but let me, I'll be honest with you. I did not know who they were until I stumbled upon
this. It was a niche thing, but if you were, they were very, seven or 8 years ago, the start of the online fandom thing. You know what I mean? They were very good at that.
Super fans.
Very good at that.
Which is
very
amazing. Stands.
Turned it into a place for other fans to go to that they could somehow connect to the artists that you loved. You know, Patty and Emily had a way of collecting good artists to be a part
of it. Amazing. So based on what I'm seeing in this clip, folks, so Patty and Emily are standing in Times Square and they're handing out flyers to Cinderella.
Because they love Cinderella.
Because they love Cinderella. You know, the way that people hand out like Roxy Red Tights, like hands out flyers for Chicago, right?
Come see the show.
I love Roxy Red Tights. I wonder where she is in quarantine. I'm very concerned. Anyone checked on Roxy Red Tights, please? So they're handing out with like their homemade t-shirts. And it's very clear that they have like no association with Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinderella. And all of a sudden, this young twink walks up to them wearing a black overcoat. And he introduces himself as a lawyer from the Schubert Organization, and it's Kevin David Thomas. And he says, I'd like for you to come with me. And we do a quick cut. Now he's working for the Rodgers and Hammerstein Organization. So now somehow your position has switched in between walking them two blocks to your office.
It happens.
And listen, I would just like to talk about historical accuracy, if I may, for a little bit. We know... Please. Where the Rodgers and Hammerstein office is located, Kevin. We know that. We know it's not two blocks away from Times Square. Yeah. But in your version, which is clearly filmed at Chetler Studios with an Urban Cowboy poster pasted.
Number 1104.
Room 1104. And you can't fool me. Can't fool me twice. I was
the ghost
like,
of Judy Kaye is in there. The ghost of Robert Scher is in there.
Tova Felch is in there. I mean, it's all in there.
Parking pass is still in there.
The parking pass. There's a Subway sandwich wrapper that I've left in there from before.
John Stein.
And then, Kevin, you proceed to tell them that you are a member of the Rodgers and Hammerstein Organization. You're giving them cease and desist orders because they're spreading what they think is helpful to the show is actually quite hindering, like the fact that Vicky Clark has magical powers. And who was the let me ask you, can you tell me the name of the actor who starred in Tootsie who also played the prince in Cinderella?
Santino Fontana.
Oh, I love how you say it, because I'm horrible. I say Santino Fontana or Santino Fontana. And can you say it again for me?
Santino Fontana, right? No, am I wrong?
No, the way you say it in the clip is so posh and so sophisticated.
Oh, like
I'm
very bougie.
Yeah, you're very bougie. But you're off book. Memorized.
I watched just the clip of in the Shetler part because I just couldn't watch the whole thing.
I watched the whole thing. And listeners, you will watch the whole thing.
I don't like to watch myself. But I was shocked that I was fully committed to whatever I was doing in there. I had a suit. I wore my suit. I see. Like, I remember
Kevin.
I remember
Kevin's wearing a suit. And he's got you got your like big 2000s tie on. Like, there's no skinny tie here. It's like it's an aught. It's a nice look at the aughts. And I love that, like, you've got the posters like taped up on the wall behind you.
The shuttler table is there, but I've got a couple things on the table.
And so your job in this episode is to like defend the legacy of Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella. So Kevin, I just have a couple I'd like to just ask you a couple of acting questions. What were your given circumstances? What was your moment before the scene started in the office? I'm just so curious.
Oh my God. You're so funny. I needed to diffuse the situation. I needed to make sure these two ladies understood that they didn't belong in this world. I live in.
Thank you, so Kevin.
They are fangirls, and I was really making sure that they didn't cause too much trouble.
No, and that's marvelous. Kevin, I want to talk a little bit about great comic reactions.
Yes.
There's Lucille Ball, who's the queen of comic reactions. There was Jack Benny, who was wonderful at, you know, a dry take. Kevin, you have given us a new thing to add on to that, and that's when the ghost of Douglas Carter Bean shows up into the room. At the end, and they catch you in profile, Kevin, and your jaw is on the floor, and they linger on this shot for what seems like an inordinate amount of time. But I think what they're really trying to show us through the hold on the take is how uncomfortable we all are in this society and how all of us are uncomfortable with lies. And I just hope that as everyone is watching this, they will celebrate that. And Kevin doesn't. Better than anybody. There's Chaplin, there's Keaton, and there's KDT.
Well, you know what? I believe when the camera is that close up, I believe that actually more movement is better than less movement. I think that like more head movement, like, whoa, what? Like that kind of stuff. It really when the camera almost can't, you see there's not enough frames per minute that you can't, you actually can't see my face. It's blurring so fast because I'm giving such a comedic reaction.
It is.
I was testing out some new ideas there with that.
Once again, folks, and first of all, and Kevin, I believe you won a Clio Award for this.
They didn't ask me to do any other parts. I couldn't believe it. I thought I would get cast in other things that they did. They never asked me back. I music directed for them, but I never got to play any other parts for their other videos. I don't know if they did in any other videos.
In the defense of Patty and Emily, and I don't want to speak for artists like them because maybe they can, you know, shed some light on this. But my feeling is you were so iconic in this role that as soon as you were brought into any other frame and they were said, oh, he's not now Schubert / Ted Chapin / whatever, the audience would go, I don't buy it. I can't buy into it, and I can't believe it. It's what killed Shelley Long's career, and I think it's something that probably hindered you in continuing on. But we thank God for what you did leave behind, which is, I think your name is like Irving Levine or something. Mr. Goyim walks out and is like Irving Levine. I am playing with you because first of all,
you must
folks,
have been shocked when you saw me. Did you? Oh, you knew to see you expect me, but you must have been like,
I looked so young.
It's only 2 years before we met. I mean, it was 7-8 years ago. But
you,
oh my God, I looked like a child.
I'm going to say this, and I hope it doesn't sound creepy. You are adorable, but as you've gotten older, you get better looking.
Aw. Sutton said that the other day, and I was like, oh, honey, that's so sweet. But
no, I mean, listen, back then, you were, I would have absolutely slid into your MySpace or LiveJournal. I don't know what we had back
Friendster.
Then. And just be like, you gonna maybe go get a drink and talk about Broadway?
Are you gonna go to Trivia on Saturday night?
Are you gonna go to Trivia on Saturday night?
I'm gonna see you.
And then you had been like, and my girlfriend, and I would be like, hey, why?
He's gay, it doesn't matter.
Seriously, Kevin, you as I was like, boy, you've gotten like you're like one of those like men get better with age type things. So congratulations on that. Once again,
well, thank you.
I hope that doesn't sound creepy. And if you're like that is creepy, just remember you were in Shetler Studios with an Urban Cowboy poster tape behind you, so you can't really call me creepy.
He was. Oh man, and I just want to say thank you, Emily and Patty.
Yes.
They are such lovely people that, you know, at the time, they really brought so many people together. And, you know, it was really a great time. And it's fun to you know, we poke fun with love, but it really was. It was
I want to be very clear. I am poking fun at the fact that Kevin did not tell me about this. Patty and Emily stuff. Once again, you can go to their channel. It's Patty and Emily. On YouTube, and they've got a ton of videos, and it's very fun. I mean, and I think it's such, to me, I think that's such a funny idea that it's like these super fans that are like thinking they're helping and they're really hindering everything.
They were smart like that, and they treaded the line of being super fans of Broadway, which they are, but also making content for other fans of Broadway.
And it yes,
was, like I said earlier, that was the beginning of people do. Now it's like we have TikTok, we've got so many different ways to celebrate our art form. But like 7-8 years ago, they were literally coming up with ways to do it, you know. And I thought that way, and going for it, you know, they went to 54 Feet Below. You know, there were like 20 people in the audience, but they were still trying to create content. I was happy to be a part of it. To be honest,
it's very cool, and to see their love of these shows, and to see, I mean, it's wonderful. It's
Urban just
it's
Cowboy.
It's real. I mean, no, it's really, really. I think it's fantastic. However, what I don't think is fantastic is that I had to find out from a stranger that you had done this.
I didn't know it was still there. I didn't know it was still up. I forgot. I was laughing so hard when you sent it to me. I could not believe this.
So that's it. So that's my favorite thing for this week is you're going to go and you go and watch Patty and Emily work with the great Kevin David Thomas. I wonder if they were intimidated by you. I wonder. I mean, they don't show it on camera, and I applaud that.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Because obvious
a big star of A Little Night Music, it was very intimidating to be. Mr. Erlinson.
I mean, look, I would like to applaud Patty and Emily because they never once on camera look intimidated by you. In fact, they look like they're tolerating you, and I think that's a testament to their abilities as artists. So, once again, folks, please watch the Academy Award winning film Patty and Emily, Unofficial Cinderella. Fans, no, what's it called? Sorry,
I don't remember.
Patty and Emily.
Patty and Emily, Cinderella. I think if you
Cinderella, and Kevin is you're absolutely wonderful in it. You're very funny, by the way, in it, Mister. I don't do comedy.
Buckle up, everybody. It's
you're very funny. He really is. He's very, very funny, and you're very committed to it. So once again, folks, it's Patty and Emily, Unofficial Cinderella Street Team. I think what they did is absolutely hysterical and brilliant. However, I wished that one of my best friends would have told me that he was doing this. So the next time I do something and you're like, why didn't you tell me? I'm just going to go.
Can't wait.
Douglas Carter Bean. Ghost of Douglas Carter Bean. And then I'm just going to shut up and let you stew in that. So
and
that's
hold that moment too long. And then,
it's brilliant. That's kind of it. Kevin just tried to do it again, but you know, Kevin, let's not it's kind of like watching,
yeah, you're right,
Carol Channing do Dolly like for the 90th time. It's like don't at some it. Point we just need to like let it go.
Yeah. I just got to let that. It's just, I can't relive it again. I have to just let that be a moment in the past. That's just on YouTube forever. And I can just celebrate it there. So I guess I will after I get off of this.
I can't wait. He was so good. All right. So what's your favorite thing?
Well, that was good. Mine is actually a person I wish to bring up and just share a little information about him. I have an album, an LP of this. He died really young in 1978. He was 51. He was an international icon, but very lesser known in the United States, but in Europe, particularly France. He was known as like the king of the master modern chanson, like the master modern singer of sort of common songs, you might say. And he was from Belgium, but by way of Paris, and then became just a well-known chanteuse, you might say. At around the age of 40 or 39, he was so sick of touring and going on a tour schedule, because he would just do concerts of his songs and sing his own songs. And he retired and he said, "I'm done." And then he made a couple films, some really well-known films. And then he famously went to New York City, did a concert at Carnegie Hall that only Frenchmen went to, really, and diehard American fans, not known there. And then he saw Man of La Mancha on Broadway, became obsessed with it, and then decided to be Man of La Mancha in Paris. American musicals in Paris were not successful.
Yeah.
And so he starred as Man of La Mancha, and he adapted it. He translated it. He performed it, the title role, for a couple of years. And then a couple Americans, some hippies, really loved his songs, because his song, they translated them in the early 70s, mid 70s. And then a Brill Building, a songwriter who had given us Viva Las Vegas and This Magic Moment, he and his friend, they put together the songs and created Jacques Brel Is Alive and Well and Living in Paris. Jacques Brel was alive and well living in Paris, but no one in the United States had really ever heard of him. Meanwhile, in Paris, he was like so famous, so well known. People were hungry for his work, to see him perform live. You can go on YouTube, friends, type in Jacques Brel, look for the black and white videos, watch this artist deliver a song. The list of people that he influenced, that the legacy that he created of songwriters, of interpretive song, of like really diving into a song and diving into the poetry and the lyric and the language of the music and delivering that in a really authentic way. His songs were had very stark lyrics. It's very French. Very violent, emotional performances that he would give. Very theatrical, even though these songs were very first person. Some of the songs you probably know, the English titles are like, the famous one is If You Only Have Love. If you only have love, da da dee 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 dee. Very beautiful songs. Madeline, the song of the old folks. Ne me quitte pas is a very famous song. If You Go Away is the rough translation. But a lot of people, you guys know the Jacques Brel's Live and Well Living in Paris, which is a song cycle that was done in 1978, because these hippies, these guys that were obsessed with his music, were like, we gotta put this in the United States somehow and get this popular. So it became a very well-known show, song cycle. I knew it, but I always heard the title, Rob, and I was always like, what is this? Why did they say Jacques Brel's Alive and Well and Living in Paris? What does this mean? The weird thing is Jacques Brel died in 1978, the year that it came out. He didn't get to see his legacy go worldwide, but he was in Europe at least. I mean, he lived on a yacht the last couple years of his life, and he would fly and he would do all these things because he could live off his sort of concert and his album career. I have this really awesome blue LP of his that is called If You Go Away, Ne me quitte pas, and it's from 1972. And it's he's older in this album, and he sings all of his, you know, French songs. But I highly recommend listening to Jacques Brel sing in original French. If you're aware of his, you know, the show, it's really, it's even better to hear it done by him with that theatricality and that just richness of language and emotion. And I just went down a rabbit hole, Rob, and I just became obsessed with Jacques Brel. And I want to do like a one-man show or do something that celebrates this guy, because he really was very special, you know, songwriter. And I'm just making sure my notes, I said everything that I wanted to say. And the Man of La Mancha was a really epic thing. So he retired in like 1969, and he was at the height of his career, but he was just tired of touring. He just didn't love the touring life. And so he and his wife and his kid, and they just sort of settled down a little bit. And he did a one night in Carnegie Hall. Again, not big. It was sold out, but it was not big in America. It was all French, you know, expats and stuff like that. But then he saw Man of La Mancha, adapted it, started in that. There's an album. You can get that album of Man of La Mancha in French. And so, yeah, go listen to some Jacques Brel songs and really appreciate this, you know, at the time, very, you know, famous and respected singer. But I think we've sort of forgotten a little bit about him. And I think it'd be worth remembering and celebrating, even if it's the Jacques Brel and Is Alive and Well Living in Paris. You know, incidentally, my introduction to that show was when I saw the revival in 2006 at the Zipper Theater. Remember the Zipper Theater, Rob?
I do.
The coolest theater spaces in New York City that shut down, but you would go into this theater and it was so weird. It was an old factory and the seats were like, you know, like when you had a van and you would take the back seat out
yes.
of the van. It was seats like that were in like the theater. It was very non-traditional. And they took the original Jacques Brel show, Song Cycle, and they reorchestrated it, rearranged the songs. I think Bob Cuccioli was in it.
Bob was it, yeah.
Was in it. And I was rocked by that production. I fell in love with it. I thought the songs were so emotional and visceral. And so, yeah. But that's even better if you see the original source and Jacques Brel himself.
So today it's really going and exploring Jacques Brel's work.
Him, the man himself. And so if you think you know him and because of the show, maybe just explore his actual performances. I don't have an exact song to tell you to go to. I would just say go to YouTube, type in Jacques Brel, and look at some of the very older material that he had from very early television. But it's really well worth it and really some really special stuff. So, Jacques Brel.
That's amazing. Yeah, I remember the Zipper one. I remember the Zipper one. It was Bob Cuccioli. I'm looking at Natasha Diaz, Gay Marshall, and Rodney Hicks, and Gordon Greenberg did it.
Yes, that's
Gordon
right.
Gordon Greenberg did it. Yeah, okay.
I loved the arrangements. They were so different and fun and you know, passionate. And that was recorded too. That revival. It's a red cover, and it's you can listen to that that off Broadway recording as well. That's a really
But today we're going to be listening to him.
Yes, listen to the man himself sing these songs in French. Really, really good. And go to Spotify. It's all or Apple, you know, your streaming services or what have you. It's all there too. You can listen to him sing there too. It's really and especially on a cloudy day when you're stuck inside, you might as well just live in the ennui for a little bit. Just live in it. Just live there. Just go there for a second. It's
as if there's something we need now. It's more ennui.
Yeah. Why not?
I think you can have a happy day. Please. I think you can embrace the world of Jacques Brel and live in that moment, and then turn over to Patty and Emily's Cinderella and watch Kevin. Right.
And I can't wait to find something. I cannot wait, listeners. If you have something on Rob, give it to me. Bring it to me. Send it.
You can go to my OnlyFans, where I'm just sitting there crying and eating Ben and Jerry's.
They're only fans. That's a joke for the millennials.
Fans only? Only fans?
I've seen it, but I think, I don't know. I don't know.
And once again, Kevin is also winning the Gene Herschelt Humanitarian Award from the Academy Awards this year for his incredible body of film work that he leaves behind. Many times the Gene Herschelt Award is given out to people that feel like they're at the end of their lives, but Kevin is one of the youngest recipients, but his work in the Douglas Carter Bean shot was so fantastic that the Academy was like, I'm so sorry, Cicely Tyson and Olympia Dukakis, you're going to have to wait a little bit. It's going to Kev.
I'm really hoping to get the Mark Twain Prize at some point. That's really what my goals were, but hey, you know, can't win them all.
And once again, it is very funny. Patty and Emily have done an amazing job. I am hurt. Great. A stranger in Buffalo, Kevin. A stranger in Buffalo.
Thank you, Buffalo. Thank you, stranger.
of course, it's the wonderful Vinnie Murphy, who was so kind to give me the playbills.
Oh my God.
So Vinnie, thank you so much. And I'm sure Kevin will reach out to you soon with his own cease and desist order. where truth becomes art.
Oh my goodness.
It's going to be great. Awesome.
Enjoy.
Thank you. You were very funny in it. So please join us for trivia on Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Not since Carrie, part two. And Kevin's going to sing, and I know what songs he's singing. I'm very excited.
I'm going to sing a little, and Rob always has amazing clips. So you will see some really fun things as well. And let's all share and get together and hang out.
Well, you know what? Because people listen to our If you listen to the podcast, I'll give you a hint. So, you know, we have six categories in our trivia usually, and there's only four more chapters to the book. So we had to invent a category. And so if you're listening, you can brush up. And if you're not listening, you're going to be left in the lurch. It is bad movie musicals. The last category is about flop movie musicals. So you can do your research there, but don't share that with anybody because
okay, yeah, don't tell.
You want to win the points. The so secret. That because that's our secret.
Just us Thursday listeners.
Just yeah. Between you, me, Ray Kampf, Robbie Rizel. No, just our usual group. All right. And we hope you enjoyed our interview with Jack O'Brien. Mm. And then on Monday, we're dropping our Peter Felicia, Josh Ellis, where they talk about all the different stars that they've either interviewed or that they've worked with. And it's fun. It's a fun,
Their experience with leading ladies is fun. And yeah.
Yes. And Peter does a couple of great stories, but he won't tell you who the names are. So you have to kind of guess who he's talking about. Not that hard to figure out, but right. we'll tell you another time. All right, everyone. Have a wonderful weekend. All right, folks. We hope you have a
great rest of the week. Bye.
Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.